I'm Johnny Mack with your daily comedy news. Something different up top today. Instead of late night, let's do from Vulture. They did 14 stories about Charlie Watts. Charlie Watts, the drummer for the Rolling Stones, passed away this week. I think we all like at least one Rolling Stones song, right? I won't read all 14, but here's the first one. Charlie Watts punched Mick Jagger. There are a few versions of the story, but the gist is the same. After a night out in Amsterdam with Keith Richards, Mick Jagger drunkenly called Charlie Watts' hotel room at 5 a.m. and asked, "Where's my drummer?" Charlie Watts picked up, was irate, got out of bed, shaved, got dressed to the nines in a suit, went to Keith Richards' room, and punched Mick Jagger in the face. The better version of the story has it ending with Charlie Watts saying, "Don't you ever call me your drummer again, you're my effing singer." That detail is not included in Keith Richards' retelling of it in his book, but Keith's version, which does appear in the Keith Richards autobiography Life, includes the detail of Mick Jagger falling over on a tray of smoked salmon and nearly falling out the window into a canal. Wait, that's not funny, Johnny Mac. Pre-read these things. What's wrong with you? The only reason Keith Richards stopped the fight? Mick Jagger was wearing Keith's wedding jacket. What? All right, late night jokes from Seth Meyers. Following the full approval of Pfizer's coronavirus vaccine, the company revealed it would start marketing the drug under the name Comirnaty. We covered that yesterday. So now people will start referring to the Pfizer vaccine as the Pfizer vaccine. Amen, brother. Seth, again, it's too late for a rebrand. This is like when your friend comes back from vacation and is like, "Actually, everybody calls me Turbo now." Jimmy Fallon, listen, if they really want people to take it, they should have just called it White Claw. Great joke. Seth, it's like a riddle Tom Hanks would have to solve in the Da Vinci Code to find out the location of the Holy Grail. The Moderna vaccine, meanwhile, as you know, because you listen every day to Daily Comedy News, the Moderna vaccine will be called Spikevax, which Seth says sounds like a vaccine that protects you from COVID and gives you a mohawk or one of those sketchy boner pills they have at the bodega. Spikevax sounds like the drugs teens are using in young adult sci-fi series called, I don't know, the Nestworld Chronicles. This is huge news and will hopefully be super helpful in persuading more people to take the vaccine. Of course, another thing that might be helpful would be getting Donald Trump, the leader of the Republican Party, to tell his supporters to get it. Calm down, don't write me a letter. Seth kept going and said, so it came as no surprise that when Trump commented in support of the vaccine at a rally in Alabama last weekend, Trump said, "I recommend take the vaccines. I did it. It's good. Take the vaccines." The crowd booed, Seth Meyers observes. That really illustrates the core problem of the Trump movement. Yes, his followers listen to him, but he also listens to them. In fact, he doesn't just listen to them. He's desperate for their approval and terrified of ticking them off. Jimmy Fallon had some jokes about the Jeopardy host Mike Richards. Mike had the job for one day and filmed 5 episodes. Jimmy Fallon said, "Come on, half the contestants last longer than he did." Richards will remain as the show's executive producer, which Jimmy says is not a great look on his resume. It's like having your jobs listed as Wendy's cashier, Wendy's manager, Wendy's cashier. So I've seen this next story bubbling up. It appears to be a real thing. The version of the story I'm reading to you here is from The Federalist, and the headline, "Why won't Comedy Central air The Office's episode Diversity Day?" You may recall that Diversity Day is the episode where everybody goes, "Yeah, that's when The Office really kicked into gear." It's also episode 2 of the entire series. The Federalist says, "Comedy Central struck Diversity Day from a recent chronological broadcast of episodes from The Office. Sports Illustrated writer Jimmy Traina noticed the same pattern last year." The Federalist says, "This is obviously intentional and absurd, but not remotely surprising. The Office has previously edited out a scene from Dwight Christmas in which Dwight appeared in blackface during an attempt to celebrate an authentic Pennsylvania Dutch Christmas. The point of the scene, of course, is to showcase offensive behavior. If we didn't all agree Dwight was behaving wrongly, there wouldn't be a joke." Steve Carell says the wrong-mindedness is the point. The Federalist says it's pathetic that a network dedicated to comedy lacks the courage or will to air sharp satire like Diversity Day. Maybe they're scared of social media backlash. Maybe it's a decision made by ViacomCBS. Hopefully, it's reflective of a dying attitude towards comedy's artistic boundaries. Mindy Kaling was on The Office. You remember her? Well, she is involved with the Scooby-Doo prequel Velma. This from Pure Wow. Mindy Kaling said, "I love Scooby-Doo. It's so fun and so wholesome. The character Velma in particular I adore because she's incredibly smart, often felt like the smartest one in the group and is valued by other members of the gang. It's exciting to do her voice because I think she's an iconic smart girl. The spin on it is a little more adult, so maybe I would have to wait until my daughter's a little bit older, but I'm really excited about the project. What I love about Velma is that she's so smart and she doesn't seem to care much about fashion or those kind of trappings of adolescence, but she's still iconic no matter what her orange turtleneck and her red kilt, and I just love that. She really seems to value smarts and an education a lot to me. I think she's a great character and kind of a natural fit for me. Mindy, I think you are reading way too much into Scooby-Doo. The new project titled Velma is an adult animated comedy series that tells the origin story of the unsung and underappreciated brains of the mystery-solving gang. And unlike the original, this Velma is of South Asian descent and lives in a world with no talking Great Dane. There's no release date yet, so it's a Scooby-Doo prequel without Scooby-Doo. All right, whatever, man. From Up Rocks, Bob Odenkirk is back, baby. He appeared on the most recent episode of the George Lucas Talk Show, which, if you've never seen, is wonderful. The George Lucas Talk Show, an improvised comedy show where Connor Ratliff plays George Lucas, who hosts a talk show. Griffin Newman plays Watto, and a third guy, Patrick, plays Patrick. Well, Bob Odenkirk showed up when Paul F. Tompkins was a guest on the show, and he called Odenkirk. Odenkirk picked up the phone and heard, "Bob, hi, it's Paul F. Tompkins. I'm not going to keep you long. I'm calling from the George Lucas Talk Show, which is streaming live right now, and George Lucas just pointed out to me that I was listed as a special thanks on with Bob and David." That was his show. "And I just wanted to say you're welcome." Without missing a beat, Bob Odenkirk said, "Well, finally, how long did that take?" Bob Odenkirk later tweeted, "Paul F. Tompkins is eventually polite." Not sure how I feel about this one. From Variety, SNL alums Maya Rudolph and Andy Samberg have been tapped to co-host Peacock's new holiday culinary competition called Baking It. Amy Poehler is the executive producer. Baking It is a 6-episode baking series in which 8 teams of 2 talented home bakers join Maya Rudolph and Andy Samberg in a winter cabin for what is described as a heartful and joyful celebration to honor holiday traditions and indulge in excess. I ask you, dear listener, is this the best use of Andy Samberg? I don't think it is. Contestant duos will include spouses, siblings, best friends, Glenn, you want to go on this? And more, who will work together to create outstanding savory and sweet creations for themed challenges with the hopes of winning a cash prize. Maya Rudolph and Andy Samberg will lead the festivities, also providing comic commentary on the action. The baker's holiday treats will be judged by tough critics, 4 opinionated real-life grandmothers who also happen to be fantastic bakers themselves. Look, here's what I want to do with this. Let's scrap that whole thing. Let's lock in a room. We'll let Andy Samberg host it because he could be in the Mac Pack. I may have a man crush on him. Let's analyze that as the days go on. Yeah, I might have a man crush on Andy Samberg. Anyway, Andy can host. Maya, if you want to be there, I don't care. Andy Samberg's your host. We have Sebastian Maniscalco, Jim Gaffigan, and George Lopez, and they all cook. I would watch the hell out of that. From The Wrap, Rob Lowe's got a new gig. He'll be hosting Attack of the Hollywood Clichés, described as a one-off special featuring some of the most famous films in cinematic history, along with a plethora of Hollywood A-listers, screenwriters, academics, and critics as they guide us through the funny, weird, and controversial clichés which appear on our cinema screens. This sounds like fun. This will be on Netflix. Attack of the Hollywood Clichés features Rob Lowe wearing a, quote, classic crisp suit while inviting viewers to examine the Hollywood clichés, blah, blah, blah. Today's Daily Comedy News is brought to you by the Center Cut Podcast. I've been telling you about these guys. They're Michael and Dave. They watch either the first 15 minutes and the last 15 minutes of a movie they haven't seen, or they watch the first and last episode of a season of television they haven't seen. New episode out. Outer Banks Season 2. Michael and Dave watch the first and last episodes of the second season of the attractive teen Netflix show Outer Banks. They point out that the attractive teens aren't really teens. From the roofs of the Bahamas to a boring, dirty boat, we traverse many... Nope, that's it. That's all we see in our episodes. Boy, does it make our undercarriages sweaty just thinking about it. The Center Cut guys, Michael and Dave, say John B.'s even older, Sarah's breasts somehow expanded in size, Kira's a little more disgruntled, Pope is a tiny bit braver, and definitely dirtier, and J.J. is still J.J. Most importantly, though, if you thought Ward was a bad father, wait till you see John B.'s absenteeism on full display. This is the Center Cut Podcast. Again, Michael and Dave only watch the first and last 15 minutes of a movie or the first and last episode of a season of TV. Guys, I want you to do The Suicide Squad. I think you will watch the first 15 and then you will watch the last 15 and you will wonder if I put a different movie in when you weren't looking. The guys also field questions by listeners or guests to guess about the middle that they haven't watched. The Suicide Squad. Do it. Just do it. Hilarious, insightful, and all-around blast. It's just the dose of master's level vocabulary with a sprinkle of juvenile humor you've been waiting for. Search for The Center Cut wherever you find podcasts. And everybody say it with me. What did The Center Cut podcast do? That's right. They sponsored today's Daily Comedy News. Man, there's been a lot of comedy news this week. The previous 2 weeks were pretty light. I've got plenty of leftovers. So normal episodes all weekend. One of those episodes, I will take a look at the Austin comedy scene. That was a suggestion from Lane Spurkus. If you have a suggestion or a topic you'd like me to cover or a question, or if you just want to say hi, an easy way to do that is go to Instagram at Daily Comedy News, tag any post, and I'll see it and I will comment on the show. From Chortle, organizers of the Edinburgh Fringe have launched a £7.5 million fundraising drive to aid the long-term recovery of the festival after COVID. Edinburgh Gin kicked the campaign off with a £150,000 donation raised from its collaboration with Phoebe Waller-Bridge to make Fleabag-branded bottles. What are we doing? Around £160,000 more have come from individual donors. The fundraising campaign, which will run for 3 to 5 years, aims to support artists and venues, break down barriers to participation, make the festival more sustainable, you know, and stuff. Its chief executive, Shona McCarthy, says the last 18 months have been the most challenging in the Fringe's history, and everybody from artists and venues to the Fringe Society has experienced huge losses. Chortle has been reviewing some shows at the Fringe. This one, apparently, they didn't like. Chortle writes, Johnny Vegas, Jeremy Lyon, Funds and Games, both those words with Z's at the end. There's a reason awfully inappropriate entertainers have been a staple of the Fringe over the years. The desperation of someone so ill-suited to their job is especially hilarious when the job is supposed to be cheering you up. The latest to join this tradition is Pat Bashford. Star of 1994's He's Up For It, and now hosting a low-rent club night, just one wrong comment away from being canceled. His catchphrase, I'm only messing, to which the audience responds with decreasing certainty, we know you are. His corny jokes that paper over his sadness stand in contrast to Sherry Ann, the barmaid roped in as co-host. Her guileless charm is thoroughly endearing, giggling at the jokes in her head, and naturally funnier by accident than Bashford's tired, supposedly professional scripted jokes could ever be. Yikes. Of course, it's not really by accident. Sherry Ann is the alter ego of 2018 Chortle Student Comedy Award winner Bexy Archer, while Bashford is stand-up Kevin Dewsbury, who together form the double act Your Dad's Mum. Sherry Ann's supposed to be super woke, but isn't especially. It's just that Bashford is such a dinosaur lost in the modern landscape. That's enough for the friction needed for their double act to work. Maybe it's the social distancing, but the audience didn't throw themselves fully into the activities at this performance, but you can see how they could be raucous fun. The hero's journey of redemption Bashford supposedly undergoes to give the hour a narrative breath is a bit messy and contrived. However, there's a lot of silly charm at the heart of this partnership. With a crowd more willing to play along, this would have had all the makings of a rivaled night out. All right, so it sounds like they went for it and just kind of missed, or maybe they had a bad crowd. Let's take a look at some shows going on this weekend. I've enjoyed this week going a little deeper than I usually do into comedy. You know, the Fringe stuff, these are not household names. Nothing I'm going to tell you about here is a household name. But, you know, let's just give you a little overview of what's happening in the world of comedy this week. The second season of Comedy Invasion 2.0. It features the newest lineup of Pan-Asian comedians. Live taping August 28th and 29th. So that's Saturday and Sunday, if I counted correctly. It'll happen at the Japanese American National Museum, located in LA's Little Tokyo. The comedians are former Chinese beauty star Jiaying Summers, queer HIV positive advocate Korean comedian Aiden Park, Indian American Vinayak Pal, Cambodian descent Lin Sun, Thai American Eli Nicholas, Vietnamese American Rosie Tran, George Wong Jr., who's a comedian turned skate coach, and Nishi XL, who is half Indian Pakistani American. From onlineathens.com, is it possible to be genuinely funny without the use of adult language and subject matter? I say yes. Well, that's the specialty for comedians Mark Christopher, Robert Mack, and Stephen Mazan, who will be bringing their post-quarantine return to stand-upping tour to the Marigold Auditorium in Windsorville. Also this weekend, Mazan told the Banner Herald, the term clean sounds so vanilla and boring, like we're going to be doing a church show. I have jokes about the death penalty and Robert has material about immigration, but none of it is based on vulgar, knee-jerk reactions. We take a thoughtful and clever approach to our humor. And from Minneapolis, Fox 9, a comedian is bringing a sober stand-up show to Minneapolis. Zane Helberg says, I just want people who are struggling to have a good time. I'm just telling jokes and stories about my life, and it just happens that a good portion of that has to do with the fact that I used to be a drug addict. You know, I used to be an alcoholic. Helberg's live from rehab at the Phoenix Theater in Minneapolis's Uptown Saturday night. And from the Edmonton Journal, Edmonton nurse and stand-up comedian performing an upcoming virtual comedy show, Siobhan Theobald, will be featured in the virtual comedy show Laughter from the Front Lines tonight. Siobhan says it's really interesting because stand-up is usually a very live and in-person event at an intimate venue, and to see it translate to an online audience because of the pandemic to bring people together was interesting to see. This is the second Laughter from the Front Lines show that the Unknown Comedy Club has put on after the first one was held in July. The Unknown Comedy Club was started last March as Canada's premier black-owned online comedy club. Siobhan says, with this online platform, you can get all these people together in one show, whereas if you didn't have that platform, it would be difficult to get that niche together. All right, that is your comedy news for today. Normal episodes all weekend. Follow the show. If you don't already, you're going to go on your app, you're going to click follow, you know what to do. Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Instagram, at Daily Comedy News. If you enjoy me and you want to buy me a coffee, go to buymeacoffee.com/dailycomedynews. See you tomorrow.